FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz and happy Halloween. It's October 31st and, well, a lot of people in the nation's capital are putting on their best faces or masks, if you will. I don't know that they're going out trick-or-treating. Usually they do that after the election when they get the trick and we get the treat in the form of higher debt. Well, John Rubino, you're with us as always and man, do we have a lot to discuss today. Good morning.
Morning, Kerry. Yeah, you want to do politics or economics first? They're both pretty interesting and disturbing.
Let's talk about the economics first, which really overlaps with the politics when you get down to it.
It does, yeah. Yeah, well, GDP came out actually pretty great last week. I think it was 2.6 annual rate of increase for the U.S. And everybody was all excited about that. But then, you know, buried in these good headline numbers are much more disturbing numbers. And in this case, one of them was that the U.S. budget deficit, in other words, how much more the government is spending than taking in, went up by 67% in August. So from that, we can infer that because it's an election year and because the people in charge want the Democrats to win this election, they pumped up spending really aggressively. I mean, if the deficit is up by 67%, year over year in 1 month during the late stages of a recovery when the deficit is usually plunging, that kind of implies conscious effort on the part of people in charge to get the economy moving at least temporarily. And the way this works, and this is nothing new, it usually happens this way during an election year, that the people in charge try to make things look as good as possible going into the election, and then they reverse a lot of it back out. So either they'll scale back spending commensurately early next year, or they'll just revise the GDP numbers back down. So we're actually growing at 1%, let's say. But they're fooling us into thinking that we're growing faster right now to make people think that the economy is being well run. That, as I said, this is kind of standard procedure in elections. So we shouldn't be surprised by it, but we also shouldn't be fooled by it. You know, if it took a 67% increase in the deficit to get us to this point, to get us to grow at 2.7%, then when they reverse that back out, we'll actually be, you know, negative for a quarter or two, or 1% or 0.5% or some a lot less attractive number. And that's what 2017 is probably going to look like.
Well, as you see from the WikiLeaks, John, everything is cooked, right? I mean, all the numbers, whatever, they've all been politicized. So what about the prospects of a huge revision downward next month after the election?
Yeah, well, that's the way it usually works, maybe not, you know, immediately the month of the election, but it dribbles out over the next few quarters where they just revise things down a little more than they would have otherwise. Or they revise down big a past number that nobody's paying attention to, and then that allows them to report growth on this lower, you know, this revised downward past number. And all anybody pays attention to is the headline number. So if you revise the past number down dramatically and then report a little bit of growth on that, people see the little bit of growth and think we're still growing, but actually we're down if you include the revision. And you know, it's like a store raising prices dramatically and then cutting them somewhat and calling it a sale, you know, the same concept. People are only paying attention to the one number. And if you manipulate that one number, then you get the result that you want. So yeah, and WikiLeaks is doing us all quite a service, I think, by peeling back the veil a bit and showing how much of life is manipulated by, in this case, the target is the Clinton campaign. And we're seeing that the Democratic National Committee works with CNN behind the scenes to get poll numbers that are favorable for the Clintons. And the Clinton Foundation uses a lot of screens to prevent people from seeing how Hillary helping them as Secretary of State leads a donor to give money to the Clinton Foundation and so on. You know, these things are, they're borderline illegal, but they're definitely corrupt. You know, the moral issue is bigger than the legal issue here. So it really kind of taints a lot of what these guys are doing, and it makes it hard to think of them as good people. And that's Hillary Clinton's problem now. It's not that necessarily, although her email activity would be definitely illegal if you or I did it. And there are people in prison right now for doing that. So we can't say that it's not just a moral issue. It is a legal issue. But the moral issue, kind of across the board with these guys, is the bigger part of the perceptual problem that they've got. You know, this drumbeat of low-level corruption that we keep finding out about them makes us think that they're not good people. And wonder what else it is they're doing that we don't know about yet. So, you know, it's for Hillary Clinton, she must feel like she's had it in her hands, you know, the presidency so many times. Ring. And then it just keeps getting snatched away, you know.
Yeah.
Trump had blown it in the past couple of weeks.
So it appeared.
Yeah, yeah. So it appeared. You know, Clinton was pulling away. She had double-digit leads in a lot of polls, and people had just turned away from Trump because, you know, he said one too many stupid, arrogant, sexist, misogynist, crazy things. And it looked like most people, at least outside of his core constituency, were giving up on him. Mm-hmm. But now Clinton has come back and upped the ante with all these WikiLeaks emails and now the FBI investigation, which has revved up again because they found some new emails on, of all places, Anthony Weiner's laptop.
and then Huma Abedin, his estranged wife, doesn't know how they got on the computer. 650,000.
Tens of thousands of emails.
650,000.
Yeah.
The latest.
Yeah.
So I don't know about you, but I don't think I've sent or received that many in my lifetime. But I guess, she's a bit more adept at banging out those emails. I don't know. I can't do them.
You do have to wonder what she does all day. If she sends out 50,000 emails, what kind of time is left over for anything else? But that's maybe a separate thing. I'm sure somebody's going to do some kind of time and motion study on that. You know, if an email takes 30 seconds, how long does it take to do 50,000 emails? And it's going to be a lot of time, you know. But the point is that now everybody thinks, well, if the FBI is investigating it, there must be something there. There must be a smoking gun. And the longer the FBI goes without detailing what's there, and that's so many emails that it's probably pretty hard for them to come up with any kind of definitive answer this soon, that this is going to hang over Hillary's head through the next week and into the election. So it's going to hurt her all the way through. And they know it. You know, they had it in their hands. They were forgetting about Trump and starting to campaign for the down ticket candidates.
They were like sizing up the curtains for the Oval Office. You know?
Oh, yeah. And they were counting on taking the Senate back, which is a really big deal for an incoming president to have at least one house of Congress, you know, so it's not complete gridlock all the time. And now that's not certain anymore. You know, the polls are tightening up. It's 1 or 2%. And as Zero Hedge is noting a lot lately, the polls that we're seeing are manipulated by the pollsters by choosing to overweight one group or another in their sampling to get the result they want. In other words, if they want something that's favorable for Clinton, then they just increase the proportion of Democrat constituencies in the polling that they do. In other words, if the population is 15% Hispanic, they make it 20% or 30% in the polling that they do. And then that way they get a favorable result for Clinton. And it seems like that's kind of standard procedure. There are emails coming out now where the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, is working with pollsters to get these kinds of results, you know? And so that's not illegal either, but it's creepy. And there's so much stuff like
that
out
propaganda.
There.
It's propaganda.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. It's it's morally wrong and it's deeply disturbing, but you can't put somebody in jail for that. And that's the kind of stuff that mostly comes out about the Clintons where, they shouldn't have done that, but I don't know if it rises to the level of criminal prosecution. But there's 20 things like that out there about these guys. That seems to be how they live their lives. They figure out where the line is and then they step over it just a little bit, just enough to get some extra money in. And nobody is going to prosecute them for most of this stuff, but it does turn a lot of people off because there's so much of it. And so that's her problem. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a general perception that she and Bill are kind of sort of crooked. And so this election looks like it's going to be really close. And that disturbed the markets when the news of the FBI investigation came out, stocks tanked and gold spiked. Mm-hmm. Which tells you what Wall Street thinks of this election. You know, they like Hillary Clinton. She's one of them. And they either are terrified of Trump or just don't understand him. And that makes them nervous. So the money guys tend to lighten up on their long positions when Clinton's election becomes less and less certain. So that's what we've seen since then. You know, the markets are unsettled and it looks like they're going to stay unsettled until the election happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, my take on it's slightly different. I think that the Clintons, because of all these WikiLeaks, because of Project Veritas, which exposed stuff that's definitely illegal, although tying it to the Clintons' election efforts isn't.
That's
quite,
right. I forgot about that Project Veritas stuff, where the Democrats were sending people to Trump rallies to stir up violence.
Yeah, violence.
That's un-American. I don't think that's illegal, but damn, it should be illegal. You know, that's a violent crime.
Inciting a riot is illegal, John. That's definitely illegal. There's no question. You know, going there for the express purpose of provoking violence, that's like crying fire in a full theater, you know?
I mean, interesting.
It's definitely illegal. There's not a question about it. But whether it'll be prosecuted with this Justice Department, I would not count on it. But that was pretty damning. And then the guy was bragging about the illegality that, hey, we've been busing people into Iowa for 60 years, 50 years already. I mean, to stack elections. I think that's more for the primary, John, than for the actual general election. But it makes you wonder, like, how corrupt are these elections here?
Well, the fact that they may have stolen the primary from Bernie Sanders.
Oh, they did. Yeah.
And that's a big deal, too, because that means there are Democrat voters out there who are hurt by this. It's not just the Republicans who are sitting over there kind of fuming in the corner because the Democrats are messing with them. The Democrats are messing with the less less desirable Democrat voters too, you know, and so that's means that a lot of people might just stay home. You know, your turnout is the key in every big election. And if Bernie Sanders voters are so mad at Hillary Clinton that they're considering not voting for her, that's a really big deal too.
Yeah, that's a big deal. And I think the way that the Bernie Sanders voters were treated during the convention wasn't really that well covered, but they were really abused by the party. They were suppressed. Their protests were suppressed. And you know, the media made the Democratic National Convention out to be a great victory for the Democrats. It was a failure. I mean, if you remember, John, that morning of the first leaks occurred, I don't remember now. There's been so many leaks, John. I can't remember who leaked it. But I guess it was WikiLeaks and caused the Debbie Wasserman Schultz, head of the DNC or the whatever it was, whatever committee, she's head of the party, forced her resignation before the convention started. And then all of these emails came out about them rigging the election against Bernie, how he never had a chance. And everything the Clintons did was geared at stopping him. And she was the anointed one. And the party was totally behind her. The party's supposed to be impartial in theory, right? I mean, that's their rules say they're supposed to be impartial. And that arguably was a prosecutable offense as well. So the Bernie voters, not happy with her. A certain percentage of them are not going to vote for her, John. There's not even a question about it. They will not vote for her. So we're about to see, the chickens come home to roost for her. My feeling is, and this is my personal theory, I'm doing a newsletter on it. I haven't decided whether, got the article written, but maybe it's a little too out there. I believe that her sponsors, the global elite, have just, with the WikiLeaks, with Veritas, all that, have just had enough of them. The greed, the theft. I mean, it's always been, out there, but the lack of security on their email and just the openness and the arrogance of the way they were just out there conspiring and Clinton's wealth, you know, there was one email there setting up selling access. He was going to make $66 million doing it. Podesta, the head of Hillary's committee. I mean, he just looks pernicious in these emails, evil. And then in the emails, they're all doubting her judgment and her sanity and her physical fitness to hold office. There's so many things in there, John, that I think the Clintons have become a liability to the globalists, whether it's Soros, Rothschilds, whomever they might be. I don't know who they are. Those are the names that are bandied about. I think she's become too big a liability. And this is the takeout. This is a takedown here. And yeah, make no mistake about it. What the heck are 650,000 emails doing on Anthony Weiner's computer? None of this makes any sense. You know, none of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, a few things about that. First, it's probable that the stuff she's done isn't the important thing for her backers, but the fact that she got caught is the big deal.
Yeah.
And exactly. You know, first of all, because it's inconvenient. And second of all, because like you said, it kind of calls their intelligence and their judgment into question because, you know, putting stuff in email form and sending it out into the world is something that you could be forgiven for doing 10 years ago. But now, with all the hacks that have happened in the past few years, what kind of an idiot writes something that admits to illegality in an email?
Yeah.
You know it's eventually going to be hacked. You know, that's just, mm-hmm. that's a sign of really bad judgment besides the low-level corruption that we're talking about. It just, it means that you don't completely understand what you're doing, which is not a reassuring kind of mindset for the people that you're going to put in charge of foreign affairs and the nuclear arsenal and everything. And yeah, so it's easy to understand why the people who back the Clintons and who are technologically savvy are wondering about these guys now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, just the idea they're sharing the debate questions, getting them in advance. I mean, all these things are just, it's just corruption, I think, is really the number one issue in this election now. Certainly among the people voting for Trump, it is.
You know, this. Let's say Clinton wins this time around, which is still probably statistically likely.
It's possible. Yeah.
Okay. But all of this stuff isn't going to go away, which kind of guarantees that Trump light will win next time around. The Republicans now have this market niche that they've identified, which is somebody who's willing, you know, going to run on term limits and breaking up the big banks and getting rid of these free trade agreements and stuff like that. That's the part of Trump's campaign that people are responding to. So they're going to run somebody who is, you know, not a sexual predator and doesn't antagonize every single minority group in the world, but who's also in favor of these platform planks mm-hmm. that resonate in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Arizona. And they'll probably win. You know, that's a winning strategy now that Trump has defined, and they just have to find the right guy to do it. And there's going to be no shortage of candidates lining up who are willing to run on that kind of a platform, but who don't have all the baggage. So mm-hmm. that's a winning strategy for the Republicans or maybe the Libertarians next time around. Who knows? Because we don't know what's going to come out about the Republicans in the next 4 years. No doubt they've got a lot of really damning emails out there, too. So it could be that both major parties are just burned to the ground by WikiLeaks and Edward Snowden and their successors over the next few years. And that somebody else arises from the ashes, which would be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, well, we can only hope those parties have done more harm to the country than you can imagine. And I've always advocated for making political parties illegal. I don't care what the party is, make it illegal because Founding fathers never anticipated the rise of political parties. No sooner was the ink almost dry on the Constitution, we had parties. I think they would have written the Constitution differently had they known political parties were going to emerge and become in their primacy for the next almost 200 years. Anyway, John, we got to go. So find John's work over at dollarcollapse.com. New podcast out for John this week. And hey, we've got a link on the financialsurvivalnetwork.com. That's financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Take a look. And John, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Gary. Talk to you then.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.